The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
5:33 through 38 is where we're going to be reading. Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And he said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." Okay. Jesus is not saying my disciples, my followers will not fast. He's merely saying, look, I'm with them. They get everything they need from me right now. But someday, I'm going to be gone, and they're going to need to fast to grow closer to me, to hear from me. Fast and prayer. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the pieces that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Now, when the Bible, I believe what Jesus is referring to here, he's referring to the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. He's talking to the Pharisees and even the followers of John. John was the last prophet of the Old Covenant as Jesus entered in. And he's talking about the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And he's telling them that things are changing. Things are going to be different than they used to be. And you've got to be flexible enough to receive what I'm teaching you. And when he talked about the garment, he was talking about external things. You know, the Pharisees were great about external religious orders and followings. You know, they had laws and you had to follow their laws. They had laws that made them keep laws, that kept laws. I mean, they put a fence around the law of God so you couldn't even get close to it. Force people to do crazy things. So Jesus is talking about, you know, if you take the commandments that I have and the things that I require of you and you put them on this old garment, it's just going to make a mess. Tear it. Because when, if it gets wet and it shrinks, guess what's going to happen? That new patch is just going to shrink away and tear things apart. So he's talking about our external life. How important it is. Prayer and fasting affects that. He's talking about the spiritual. When he's talking about new wine and new wineskins, he's talking about our spiritual life, our internal life, and our desire and our following of our Lord Jesus Christ and the born-again experience that we have. So what I want to say to you this morning to begin with, number one point, I like to make points because it helps keep me on track. I don't know if it makes any difference to you, but it keeps me on track. So, and I need that, you know. When you have attention deficit, you need something that keeps you on track, you know. You got to do that. Luke 5:38, but new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Both are preserved. Now, the Greek word here for wine, it means neosk, and it means recently born or new. So, Jesus is talking about a brand new wine that he's providing. And skin, as respect to form, recently made fresh. A fresh, new wine skin. Now, if we, you know, it's pretty hard for us to really think and understand what Jesus is talking about in regards to wineskins because very few people have anything to do with tanning hides or skins anymore. But it was a normal practice back then. They would skin a goat or a sheep or sometimes even a camel, and they would keep the skin and use it for lots of things. And one of the things they would keep it for was to transport wine in those things, because they were flexible and you were able to transport it over long distance. Now, they did not keep the wine in the wineskin for long periods of time, because the skin itself would taint the wine and make it taste bad. But it was used for transporting. So what they would do is they would take a new wineskin and put new wine in it. Now, new wine was not unfermented wine. A lot of people say, well, you know, in the Bible, the new wine that they drank was grape juice. No, it wasn't. No. And I can prove that to you just merely by on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Spirit, what did they say to them? They thought they were drunk on new wine. So they were drinking something that could get them drunk. Now, I'm not giving you a license to go out and drink, okay? That's not what I'm doing. All I want you to do is drink in the Holy Spirit. Power of God. Amen. Get the power of God. So anyhow, they would use this, and if they tried to take, and they wouldn't fill it up completely, they'd just fill it up partially, because the fermenting process would continue. But mostly they had gone through the major fermentation as they put it in these wineskins. But new wineskins were still flexible. If you use old wineskins, they were no longer flexible. They had expanded as far as they were going to expand, and if you put new wine in there, that it would just, the fermentation process would cause them to burst. You lose all the wine. So Jesus is saying, listen, there's a new wine and there's a new wine skin. Hallelujah for that new wine skin. Amen. Amen. The new power. Now, the only way to have a fresh skin and new wine is to do what Jesus told Nicodemus he had to do, and that is you had to be born again. When you're born again, you receive the power of God, but there's more that happens in your life. There's a complete and total change. You become, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creature in Christ. New flesh. New, fresh creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, here's something that really saddens me, because particularly here in the United States, and this was a survey that was taken by Barna, and Barna found out that 53% of the people in the United States believe that if you're good enough, you can go to heaven. If you do good things, good deeds, you go to heaven. Now, that's not what troubles me so much, but what really troubles me is that 43% of Christians sitting in churches this morning believe that same thing. Well, how do we get so far off track with our doctrine? Maybe we're not hearing the truth. Huh? Maybe we're not reading the truth. Maybe we're not believing the truth. The reality is there is only one way to salvation and heaven. That's right. Amen. Jesus himself made it very clear, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Right. Jesus is the only answer. That's right. So it's really important that we look at this. The foundation of what I'm trying to talk to you this morning about is that the new wine will only come to a new wineskin. You'll only have the Spirit of God if you allow the Spirit of God to turn you into a new creature. Yes, amen. Through the born-again experience. That's right. But that born-again experience is so exciting, because so many things take place in our life from the time we receive Jesus Christ to the end of our life. Yes. Changes continue to happen. When Jesus is the way in our life, we can expect new and exciting things to happen. But we have the responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to keep this wineskin flexible and supple so that the Holy Spirit can expand in us, through us. I don't know if you've ever been around tanned hides, but sometimes if they lay around for a long time, then no one ever cares for them, they get real brittle. You ever seen a hide of, they can get really brittle, but it is possible to keep that from happening, but you have to care for it. You have to work on it. You have to moisturize it on a pretty regular basis. That's what has to happen. We have to recognize that we have some responsibility in this thing. Yes, so the second point that I want to make this morning is daily, our new wine is a daily choice. Amen. Yes. Luke 5:39 says, "No one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better." Oh, this is real. This is a very important point, because even after we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there's some things that are we feel like are better back there. We like certain things in our life, and we don't want the Holy Spirit to mess with them. Amen? Certainly don't want the pastor to mess with them. Now, I like to tell people it's very important that we do not try to be the Holy Spirit to anybody. You know? Wives, this is important. Can't be the Holy Spirit to your husband. Husbands, can't be the Holy Spirit to your wife. God gave them that comforter. If you try to be the Holy Spirit, you will get into a position where you are responsible for their actions rather than them being responsible for their actions. That's a very uncomfortable place to be. So what we have to do is we have to recognize that God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given our spouse. He's given the body of Christ the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is encourage people to walk in the way of God. I can't lay a law down and say, you have to do this or do that. But I can tell you this is best for you. And I love you so much that I want this for you. I want you all to be involved with this time of prayer and fasting because I believe it's good for you. I believe it can change you. I believe that it will once again make this dried out skin that we have more supple and pliable. More powerful. New wine is a daily choice. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to desire the old wine. That's just the way it is. So you have to choose to do something.
That's right. Yeah.
Galatians 5:16-25. If you want to turn there. It says this. Everybody there? You got your Bible, your iPad, your phone, whatever. Okay. I don't care what you use. This is good. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. This is the old wine that I was just reading about. This says, you don't immediately desire the new wine. But here's the old wine because it's your flesh. It desires the things of the past. But if you are led by the Spirit, You are not under the law, nor the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder. Boy, you know, we look at idolatry, murder, adultery, dissensions, all these things. You know, yeah, that's works of the flesh. But what about hatred? What about contention with one another? What about outbursts of wrath? Look, what I'm sharing with you this morning is that prayer and fasting will help you get those things out of your life. It'll move you in a direction of complete wholeness that God wants you to have. You have the choice of the new wine or the old stuff. Let's look at what the new is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. Let us choose the new wine every day of our life. Let us put aside all those ungodly things. Turn from them and choose God's way. Choose the Spirit. Choose the joy. Choose self-control. Choose kindness and goodness. Listen, it begins in our homes. If we're not choosing it there, we won't choose it anyplace else. We can put on a facade for a while. We're not really choosing it if we're not choosing it in our homes. What are you choosing when it comes to your spouse? Are you walking in joy? Love, peace, prosperity in your soul? What are your children saying? What do they think? Jesus said this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you." Now, he was talking about the things that the Gentiles or unbelievers would seek after. He's given us a mandate that we must seek his kingdom with all our heart, soul, and mind. Seek the Lord. We have to be hungry for the things of God. We have to desire what God desires for us. And one of the ways I know to cause that to happen is through prayer and fasting. I might not feel like, you know, I ask God daily, God, give me a desire for the things that you desire. That's what I want. Now, I don't personally want to have to go through the pain that sometimes entails to get there. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? So when I say that, when I pray that, when I share that with you, I'm a little bit apprehensive. Am I willing to pay the price to have God's desires? To fulfill God's desires? We have to really search ourselves. I don't want to say something that I'm not willing to follow through with. New wine is a daily choice. And number three, we need to continue to be filled. Amen. Amen. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now, there's a lot I could pull from that and teach about this morning, but I'm really, all I want you to see is that they were filled. They were filled with the Spirit. Now, I believe from the Scripture, and I can prove it to you, that you, when you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you get all the Spirit you're going to get. God doesn't give His Spirit in measure. You know, He gives it all to you. However, there is a subsequent experience that we have for the purpose of giving us the power to be witnesses and walk in the gifts of the Spirit, called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which causes us to be immersed in that Spirit that is inside of us. Amen. Does that make sense to you? I hope so. So He said, be filled. And they were filled. Now, Ephesians 5:18 says this. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you read the context that is in, you realize that He is talking, this is a different, be filled is a different word than was used in the Acts Scripture. He's actually, this is a verb that is giving us the realization that He's talking about a continual filling that needs to take place in the believer's life. Continue to be filled up. To make full is what it means. To fill up, to fill to the full. So just keep that pouring in to us. Now only God can do that. Only God can continue to fill us up. But our responsibility is to prepare ourselves to be filled. To be in a place where we can be filled. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw to God. God wants to draw near to us. Draw near to Him. How are you going to continue to be filled? First of all, I believe you have to want to continue to be filled. You have to have that desire. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the Greek word there means to fill, to satisfy, desire of anyone or anything. To be satisfied. So what He's telling us is, Jesus said, if you hunger and you thirst, I'm going to fill you up. You're going to be satisfied. Hallelujah, I want to be satisfied with my experience with Jesus Christ. But I don't want to be to the point where I'm so satisfied that I'm just going to be content where I am. I just want to be satisfied with where I am with the Lord, knowing that, you know, that's just a level. I'm moving on, moving up, moving into a new realm, a new area, a new experience with Him. Don't be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if we're going to be filled with the Spirit, we have responsibility. I want to talk to you a little bit about that responsibility. And that is that each and every one of us need to prepare ourselves on a regular basis. Prayer, this prayer and fasting is a part of it. Reading the Word of God, worshiping God. Listen, you're not going to put your worship on when you come in those doors, unless you put your worship on at home or in the car or someplace else. You got to be prepared to be filled up. You know, when I go to a restaurant, I go to that restaurant and, you know, I go there and I order food and I order something to drink, non-alcohol. Everybody, I know we're talking about wine this morning. I'm not much of a wine drinker. But we go there to that restaurant, and I'll tell you, if I know that we have plans to go to a restaurant in the evening, I won't eat all day long. I want to be hungry when I get there. I want to get my money's worth. Amen? So when I go in there, I go to that restaurant. I chose to go to that restaurant. And I sit down and I order my dinner. And I usually get a sweet tea, flavored sweet tea. Tammy hates it when I do that because they're expensive. She's all about saving bucks. I like that about her. But I splurge when I go. If I'm going to go, I'm going to get what I want. That's right. So I go there and I get what I want. I had a responsibility in this. I had to go there. I didn't just appear in a restaurant. I made a choice to get there and order what I wanted. I went there hungry and thirsty. Amen? I want you to come in this place every Sunday, hungry and thirsty for what God wants for you. Hungry and thirsty for more. If you get hungry and thirsty, my goodness, it's not about what happens in here. It's about what will happen out there. It's about what will change in your life and other people's life. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And with our prayer and fasting, I believe that's what it'll bring us to a place where we're hungering and thirsting for the things of God. For righteousness. For power. Ephesians 5:19 through 21. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, make melody in your heart to the Lord. We'll pick up just a minute for the rest of this. But what I'm showing you here is that here is the way that the apostle is telling us that we stay full. We continue to be filled up. What's he say? Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Do it corporately. Do it privately. Glorify the name of Jesus. Sing spiritual songs. Pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Use the power that God has given you. Man, I don't know about you, but when I'm in this, in my prayer time and I pray, I ask God for things on a regular basis. I try to cover the things that I believe are important in this body, important in my family, important in the world. But sometimes I just run out of things, words to share. So that's when I have to pray in the Spirit. And God, there is just something that stirs inside of me when I pray like that. I get excited about the things of God. I just begin to, you'd think I was a crazy man if you saw me in those times. I jump and I shout. I'm pretty reserved most of the time. But not when I get excited about the things of God. And I feel the Spirit. I feel the fullness being filled back up. I might have run down a little bit, but I feel it coming back up.
That's right. That's right.
Come on. Glory. I want it to happen here in this place for us.
Yes.
Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Amen.
He's telling us how we do it. We're obedient. We submit to each other. We sing. We praise God. We trust the Lord. Now, let me go back to my restaurant analogy because as I thought about this, I choose when I go to a restaurant, I choose that I want to go to that restaurant. I choose to make sure I'm hungry and thirsty when I get there. Second, I ask, I order my food, and then I ask for a flavored tea. I like the raspberry and peach. I think I like them all. They're my favorite. But when I go there, if we have a good waiter or waitress, I never have to ask for a refill.
That's right.
You know? My glass is sitting there. They either come along with a pitcher and fill it back up, or they get me another glass and bring it out. I mean, they're on top of it. They know what I want, and they're responding to my need. I was thirsty, and they keep me filled up. Look, you've got to come here thirsty. I come here hungry. God will fill you up. He'll meet you in the place of your need. He'll meet you here. But let me tell you something. If you come in this place with the wrong attitude and you've not prepared yourself to receive, to be filled up, you're going to waste your time. I don't want you to waste your time. I want you to get all you can possibly get when you come in these doors. I want you to have the right attitude. I want you to be thankful for the things. Look, that's what he said here. Giving God thanks. Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, this wine, this skin that we have that has the new wine in it, we'll let it get hard and brittle, unflexible. And we'll get a bad attitude. How many have ever gone to church with somebody with a bad attitude?
Amen.
Glory. Hope you're not with them this morning. Amen. How do you change a bad attitude? You make a decision not to have a bad attitude. You do what, bud? Oh, you lay hands on them. I know what kind of hands Bud lays on people. You make a decision not to have a bad attitude. Here's the thing that just astounds me about people when they come to church. Because I know wherever you go, and particularly here at Bethel Worship Center, if you come here with a desire to meet God, hear from God, you're going to have an experience with God.
Amen.
I believe that. And I believe no matter where you go, if you really want to have an experience with God, somehow God will show up. Amen? But here's what happens. If I go to a restaurant and I go in there, go in hungry, I go in thirsty, and I sit down in that seat, that booth, and I just look around, and the waiter or waitress comes to me, and they say, "How can I help you?" "Can't help me." "What can I do for you?" "Nothing." I have that kind of attitude in the restaurant. And they come back and they see me. You know, I'm sure it'll take them a while to come back because they don't want, you know, what's this guy doing here? You know, I look like that old mule that in the story. And they say, "Okay, can we get you something?" "No." "Can we do something for you?" "No." And I sit there and I receive absolutely nothing that restaurant offers. They've offered. They've tried. They wanted to serve me. "Can I get you something to drink?" "No, leave me alone." And I walk out of that restaurant and I go outside and the people coming in and I start telling them, "You know, you don't want to go in there. They won't feed you. They won't give you anything to drink. They won't pay any attention to you." Amen? That happens in church all the time. People go back out the doors. You know, it's been here. The Spirit of God showed up. He was here. He wanted to stir their spirit. He wanted to fill them up. And they were saying all along, no, leave me alone. I got a bad attitude and I want to keep it. So they go out the doors and my goodness, blame somebody else for their spiritual situation. Come on. You're going to hear that kind of stuff. You're going to see this. I just want to encourage you, don't let it happen to you. Come here with expectation of what God is going to do. Come here planning and receiving what God wants for your life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Prepare yourself. Be ready. You are responsible to be hungry and thirsty when you come in these doors. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. Amen. Man, so many Christians have such a stinking, nasty attitude. What kind of a witness is that? Yes, that's right. Why is nothing happening? Well, we're nasty. You know, we're not sharing the joy of the Lord with people. And honestly, we stink. You know? People don't want to be around a stinker. Some people are always, they're looking around, they're always blaming somebody else for the stench, when really what they ought to do is smell themselves. You know, a skunk, I don't think a skunk recognizes how bad he smells. I don't want to be around him. What a good God we serve. He has given us all that we need for life and godliness. All we have to do is be hungry. Said this many times, your attitude determines your altitude. How far are you going to go with God? E.B. Bounds said this, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men and women of prayer. Men and women of mighty, mighty prayer. Men and women that know the Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men and women. You know, the church has built itself these days on methods. Mega churches have come up with methods. People apply methods. Now, I'm not opposed to methods. I want you to say, you have to have order. You have to have direction. But my goodness, it's got to be about God.
Yes.
It's got to be about the Spirit. Yes. It's got to be about the Holy Ghost grabbing hold of people like we used to see in revivals. And they just can't stand it any longer. They come through those doors and they can't stand the power of God because it's driving them to their knees and they run to the front of the church for repentance.
That's right.
It's got to be about that.
Yeah.
God doesn't anoint plans, but men and women who are full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
amen. Over 100 years ago, a group of pastors assembled to choose an evangelist for a citywide campaign. It was during the time of D.L. Moody, and he was very popular, and he was doing a great work. If you don't know much about D.L. Moody, he was a very uneducated man, but very bold for the Lord, and preached the gospel, and hundreds and thousands of people were saved through his ministry because he just preached the word to people, gave them the word of God. And they gathered and they wanted to have a leader, and everybody agreed on D.L. Moody except one guy. And he said, you men make it sound like Mr. Moody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. And they all sat there in silence. They didn't know what to say. And then finally one guy, after thinking about it a little bit, he said, no, sir. Mr. Moody doesn't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. But I can tell you this. The Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. Isn't that what we need? The Holy Spirit that has monopoly on us, has control, is directing us. I believe what this church and this body and the church as a whole needs is new wine. It's just filled up with this new wine. Call it revival. Call it spiritual renewal. Call it whatever you want to call it. Call it the power of God. That's what I want. Amen.
Yes, yes. Amen.
2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land.
Yes, sir.
And then verse 15 says this, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Whew, hallelujah. We do our part. God will do His part.
Amen.
It's happened so many times in the past. Time after time, society has been in worse shape than it's in right now. I know it's hard for us to imagine, but there's been some times in the past where sin was just rampant. Alcoholism, you know, in early and mid 1700s, I guess it was, England and the New World, sin was just taking over. Murder, theft, crime was out of control. Alcoholism and drug use was as bad as we see it today. And it's horrible. No doubt about it. From that situation, people began to get desperate for God. Just a handful of people. Handful here, handful there, and they would begin to pray and seek God and ask God to move. Send His mighty Holy Ghost-filled men and women to preach the Word so lives could be changed. And through those prayer groups, God began to raise up men. He raised up people like John Wesley, Charles Finney, many others, who would go and preach the unadulterated Word of God. You know, the thing about John Wesley, he went to a church in England, and he heard a message that was just read, a message by Martin Luther that touched his heart. And he said, I felt a strange, warm sensation. From that point on, John Wesley began to preach the Word of God with power and authority. He was fond of saying, catch fire and the world will come what you burn. John Wesley was a part of a movement that I believed changed England and changed the New World, even before the United States of America. The power of God was released. He began to go out and preach, not in the churches, but he went out and he preached in the coal mines. He preached in the workplaces. He preached wherever people were gathered. And it began to change the society. And slowly but surely, as people began to receive the new birth, the new wineskin, society began to change. And in one generation, the society completely turned around. Is that possible today? Absolutely. Absolutely. God is still on the throne.
Yes,
stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.